This continues what he said earlier. The wicked hope to destroy me, but I contemplate your testimonies. I've seen an end to every purpose, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Therefore I love your Torah. It is my meditation talk all day, which proves my love for it. For as he said, but his desire is to strive in the Torah of Hashem, and he meditates in his Torah day and night, which is a clear proof of his desire for it. The things a man does for some advantage, rather than out of love, he does on certain occasions. But since I so love your Torah, it is my meditation talk all day. Another interpretation says, it is my meditation all day, for I fulfilled the mitzvahs to write a Torah scroll and have it with me all the days of my life. It is my talk all day, not only as concerns matters of heaven, but also in the routine of daily living. Thus our sages expound, anyone who studies laws of the Torah every day, anyone who conducts himself in accordance with the Torah in all matters and daily activities, he is assured of his place in the world to come. That is what the singer says here. Oh, how I love your Torah! So great is my love for the Torah that it is my meditation and my talk all day. It is my concern not only as regards Torah study, but also as regards the application of Torah teaching to interpersonal relations. According to the Zohar, Rabbi Yehuda would begin his discourse by declaring, Oh, how I love your Torah! Come and see. David was king of Israel. He had to judge his people and to lead them as a shepherd leads his sheep. Yet it says, at midnight I will rise to give thanks to you for your judgments, ordinances. It's a pasuk we already learned in Tehillim. He would devote himself to Torah study and compose praises to Hashem until the morning light announced the dawn. He would wake the dawn, as it says, awake my glory, awake lyre and harp. I will awaken the dawn. When the day came, he would recite the present pasuk, Oh, how I love your Torah! It is my meditation talk all day. We thus adduce from here that anyone who strives in the Torah in order to clarify the halacha, the law, it is as if he occupied him in the Torah that entire day. Love of the Torah. The Gemara relates that before Rabbi Yehuda, the prince, the Rebbe, known as Rebbe, completed editing the Mishnah, he went to all the great Torah sages of his generation, thereby to verify his own knowledge and to learn from them what they had received from their teachers generation after generation. He also came to Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua to test the extent of his own knowledge and to clarify doubtful matters. Some say that he wanted to find out in which areas Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua's knowledge was superior to his own, and to learn from his wisdom. There he found Yosef of Babylon sitting studying before Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, whose beloved student he was. Yosef happened to be studying the laws of consecrated offerings and was reviewing by heart everything he had learned from his teachers. He remembered one particular halacha which he had learned from Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi about a certain offering that was unfit. Yosef had some questions, however, and approached his teacher for clarification. My master, what is the ruling if one has slaughtered an offering and left over its blood for the next day? It's fit, it's kosher. Yosef approached him again at midday with the same question, and once more the answer was, it's fit. He approached him in the afternoon, and the answer came, it is fit. In the evening he again asked, and this time Rabbi Elazar ben Shmuel understood that it was not without some reason that his beloved student kept asking the same question again and again. He exerted his memory, and after a moment or two said, the offering is fit. But according to Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus and his disciples, the offering is unfit. Yosef's face lit up with joy. Yosef, said Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, it appears to me that you did not consider seriously what I told you earlier as the halachically acceptable answer. Yosef replied, Master, you concurred with the halachic ruling. It is just that my face flushed because Rabbi Yehuda taught me it was unfit. I considered all the students looking for a comrade. I feared that I had forgotten my learning. But now you have taught me that it was unfit, and so returned to me what I had misplaced. That is, Yosef knew Rabbi Yehuda ben Eloi was a disciple of Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, and that is why he had taught him that the offering was unfit. this ruling was precious to him, for he had received it from his master. It does not mean that there is in fact the finally accepted halachic ruling. Indeed, the ruling of Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua is the accepted ruling. Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua's eyes filled with tears. He said, "Happy are you, O Torah scholars, that the words of the Torah are so very much loved by you." He then applied the pasuk to him, "Oh, how I love your Torah. It is my meditation and talk all day." Pasuk 98. May oyevai techakmeni mitzvosecha ki leolam hili. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. Because of the many persecutions by my enemies, I intensify my Torah study in order to be saved in the merit of the Torah. It is thus ever with me, since I will never forget it. A subtle interpretation says that whenever I was about to perform some commendable deed, I would study my enemies in order to see how well they perpetuate their evil deeds. I would take note of their preparation, dedication, and forethought, and that is how I would then perform the mitzvahs. For it is ever with me, I would not desist from performing the mitzvahs. On the contrary, I learn from my adversaries how to perform them. Another interpretation says, in praise of the book of Psalms, David HaMelech would say that it came about on account of the persecutions that he suffered at the hands of his enemies. His heart would break and he composed psalms. Thus the Zohar calls this book the Secret of Wisdom, for he would pray for Hashem's deliverance by chanting these psalms. Accordingly, he says here, "Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies. He brought light into the world for us on account of his enemies. When my enemies maligned me and sought imperfections in me, I would become more careful and exacting in my deeds. They should not discern any wrongdoing in me." Pasuk 99. Mikom alamda hiskalti ki edvosecha sicholi. I have become enlightened from all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation talk. So greatly do I love the Torah that I have become enlightened from all my teachers. I was not embarrassed to learn from every person, for your testimonies are my talk. Similarly, he said earlier, it is my talk all day. I did not study from only a single teacher, but from many. I have become enlightened from all my teachers. As a result of such a much study, I was able to understand your testimony so well that it became my meditation and my talk. Another reading says, I have become enlightened more than all of my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation, and I continue to increase my understanding. Thus our sages teach, if you have heard the old, hear the new. For your testimonies are my meditation, and the hunger of the laborer labors for him. A pasuk that's found in Mishlei. As the sages teach, if you have sought and found, believe it. The Masechta Avos, Pirkei Avos, Ben Zoma says, who is wise? One who learns from every man. As it says, I have become enlightened from all my teachers. I have become enlightened from all my teachers because I learned from every man. Who told me to do so? Your testimonies are my talk. The Torah counseled me to learn from every person and be humble in spirit. Thus our sages teach that the Torah was given on Mount Sinai because it was the lowest of all the mountains. I have become enlightened from all my teachers, even from those younger than myself. For your testimonies are my talk. The Torah speaks and converses with me, and I do not care if my learning comes from the mouth of a youngster. Pasuk 100. Miskeinim es bonon ki fukudecha netzorti. I gain understanding from elders, for I have kept your commands. Although I have become enlightened from all my teachers, I gain understanding from elders. From the expertise of scholars, I have learned to examine things in depth and to ascertain precise and complete knowledge. For I have kept your commands through much practice and exact halachic determinations, I knew how best to keep the mitzvahs. Some explain this pasuk in accordance with the teaching of our sages. Know what is above you. A person should at all times look up to those who are superior to him in character traits and enviously strive to be like them. Thus it is related about a certain man of piety that he would honor everyone. If the other was less younger than him, he would say, his sins are fewer than mine. If the other was greater than him, he would say, his merits are more numerous than mine. That is what the singer says here. I gain understanding from elders, for I have kept your commandments. I always wanted to know how to try harder. The practice of making the Torah my talk all day, I learned from elders, for I saw that with the age is wisdom, and length of days bring understanding. A pasuk that's found in Iyov. Because their days were prolonged in Torah study through great dedication and effort, they acquired wisdom and wide knowledge. But elder scholars do not increase their wisdom unless they walk in the way of Hashem's Torah. They implement what they learn. Accordingly, the singer says, I gain understanding from elders, for I have kept your commands. There are those who practice and there are those who study, and both together are necessary. In these pesukim, the singer explains that the Torah makes them wiser than the level of enlightenment accessible to their usual three ways of instruction. One avenue of instruction is related to a man's enemies. They attempt different stratagems to cause his downfall, and he's thus forced to become sharper and wiser. Another way is through teachers and instructors. And the third way is to benefit from the experience of elders. David says here, I have gained more wisdom from the Torah. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. I have become enlightened more than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. What is more, I have gained understanding more than elders, for I have kept your commandments. A subtle interpretation is based on the literal meaning of esbonein. I will look closely. I look to elders who are Torah scholars, and I look to elders who are ignorant, and see the difference between them. The ignorant old people worry all the time, for they have no pleasure, as brought down in Kehelis. But the Talmidei Chachamim, the scholars, are occupied with Torah study. This gives me strength to be resolute at keeping the mitzvahs. For I have kept your commands. I sought ways to keep the mitzvahs, and so fortify myself. Another interpretation is based on the teaching of our sages. Why do we recite the benediction, the Brocha, Shekachonim, Ritzosa, Vitzivanu, whereby you have sanctified us and you have commanded us, also for those mitzvahs that were instituted by the Rabbanan, by the rabbis? For that is included in the prohibited commandment. Do not deviate from the matter which they will tell you. A pasuk that is found in the Chumash Devarim. Thus David says here, I look to the elders, I faithfully heed their word, for I have kept your commands, and thus obey your commandment, not to deviate from what they will tell you, to the right hand or to the left. Pasuk 101, be called Orach Ra Kalisi Ragloi Leman Eshmor Devarecha. I have refrained my feet from every evil path, so that I might keep your word. David says that he was careful not to walk in any evil path. This was not for fear of men, but to keep your word, adhere to the mitzvahs, nor was it for the love of the reward. If I have refrained my feet from every evil path, it was not because it was evil, but so that I might keep your word, as it says, similarly as for men's activities, by the word of your lips I have kept from the paths of the lawless and the violent. Not only am I careful not to transgress the prohibited commandments, but I have refrained my feet from every evil path, any path that is evil in the sight of men. For that brings me to keep your word in the Torah. By inference, if I refrain from anything that is evil in men's eyes, I must assuredly refrain from that which is evil in the sight of Hashem. David HaMelech would say, I keep away from situations that test me, so that I might keep your word. He said this after he had asked Hashem to test him and failed the test. Pasuk 102. Mimishpotecho lo sorti ki ato horesoni. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, judgments, for you have instructed me. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you have instructed me in the Torah not to turn aside, as it says in the Chumash Devarim, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Another interpretation is based on the following interpretation of the pasuk: add not to his words,
lest he reprove you and you are to be found a liar. A pasuk found in Mishlei. It is known that the number of mitzvahs is in accordance with the number of body parts in man. Therefore, it is not possible to add anything. The proof, lest he reprove you and you are found to be a liar. You would be challenged. If you were told that another organ is to be added to your body, surely you would refuse it. That is what the singer says here. I have not turned aside from your ordinances to add or to diminish, for you have instructed me that the number of mitzvahs is in accordance with the number of body parts. When some doubt would arise concerning the application of Torah law, I did not turn aside from your judgment, for you have instructed me, saying, then you will arise and go up to the place which Hashem shall choose. Do not deviate from the matter which they will tell you to the right or to the left, a pasuk that is found in the Chumash Devarim. If I have not turned aside from your ordinances, it is because you have been my help. If you had not been my help, I would not have been able to stand firm in this matter. Pasuk 103. Ma nimlitzu lechiki imrosecho midvash lefi. How sweet to my palate is your word. Yes, more so than honey to my mouth. Singer depicts the sweetness of Torah study. Your words are more sweet in my mouth than the sweetness of honey to my mouth. Similarly, it says, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. To the student of Torah, the Torah is more precious than honey. The sweetness of honey is savored only so long as it is in the mouth, not after it has been swallowed. But the taste of the Torah, once studied, is savored all the time, more so than honey to the mouth, for the sweetness of the Torah persists. Pasuk 104. Mi pi ku decho es bonon al kein shenesi kol orach shoker. From your commands I gain understanding. Therefore I hate every false path. Here the singer assails philosophical inquiry. From your commands I gain understanding. I examined the mitzvahs and saw their truth. Therefore I hate every false path, the way of the philosophers. The present pasuk continues the earlier. How sweet to my palate is your word. Yes, more so than honey to my mouth. As we learned in the previous pasuk, for honey is only savored once, and additional honey must be obtained whenever one wants to savor it again. But Torah learning is savored anew whenever new results are reduced from one's present knowledge. Thus the singer says, how sweet to my palate is your word. Yes, more so than honey to my mouth. Why? For from your commands I gain understanding. I ponder deeply in the Torah and understand one thing from another. Therefore I hate every false path that incites me to abandon the Torah and devote myself to the pleasures of this world. From your commands come our instruction to obey the judgments of the Beis Din. I gain understanding that is well to follow the most correct view. Therefore I hate every false path. I detest dwelling on minutiae during study and reject far-fetched conclusions. Pasuk 105. Ner viragli devarecho veor linsi vasi. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Torah is a safeguard against every obstacle and failure. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It illuminates not only nearby like a lamp, but provides light for all my distant paths as well. A subtle interpretation says, a lamp placed low provides little illumination. It gives much illumination when placed high. But your word gives light under all circumstances. The Torah is a light to my path, both when it is a lamp to my feet and when it is high up. Even if I toil at the Torah, in my innermost chambers, the light shines for me, it sustains me wherever I go. There are two ways a man can travel on the road without mishap. Either he has the lamp at his feet, or else a light from above illuminates the road for him. David HaMelech says, King David, your commands provide me with both forms of illumination. As we learned in the last puzzle, your word is a lamp to my feet. Some of the light comes from me, and there's also a light to my path, light stemming from the path itself.
To what can the wicked be compared? Compare them to a man who walks in darkness. He comes to a rock and stumbles. He comes to a raven and falls in. As it is written, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know on what they stumble. A pasuk that's found in Mishlei. But the righteous are like a man who walks with a lamp before him. He comes to a raven and avoids falling in. He comes to a rock and avoids being harmed. Thus David HaMelech says here, King David, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Having said in the previous pasuk, I hate every false path, the singer explains that this is because the way of the wicked is like darkness, deliberately, for they want no one to see them. As it says, the eye of the adulterer also waits for the twilight, saying, no eye will see me, a pasuk in Iyov. Assuredly, it must be that what they do is not good, which is why they are afraid. But I walk in the ways of the Torah and the mitzvahs, and have no reason to walk in thick darkness. Rather, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. This eventually must mean that what I do is good, since I'm neither ashamed nor afraid before others. There is a reason why the singer begins with a lamp and concludes with a light. When a man studies Torah, at the outset he must exert great effort to understand. But after he has toiled, the Torah grants him illumination and he understands it well. Thus David said, in the beginning your word is a lamp to my feet. In the end it is a light to my path. It shines like daylight that grows even brighter. A subtle interpretation is based on the association of the word raglai and horugli, my habit. The singer says, I must continually keep examining my conduct in the light of your Torah, especially as regards those transgressions that people carelessly tread with their feet. Moreover, the Torah is a light to my path for contemplating the greatness of Hashem through acquisition of knowledge. Rashi explains, your word is a lamp to my feet. When I am about to rule in matters of halacha, I peer into the Torah and it safeguards me from transgression. It is like a lamp that keeps one safe from unsavory elements. By linking ragli to haragloi, a further interpretation says, your word has become a habit with me. Thus the Medrash says, when David would wonder where he should be going, his feet would lead him to the house of study. At the outset, when one is just beginning one's way in life, the Torah is like a single lamp that helps one walk along the proper path. Afterwards, when one has come to walk upon a well-trodden path, the Torah is like a torch. The person can stop searching, meticulously scrutinizing everything to avoid straying unwittingly. Thus the Medrash Tehillim says, David said, even when I passionately desire to commit a sin, the words of the Torah do not let me. They illuminate the way for me, and I know where to go. Pasuk 106, Nishpati Vayikayemo Lishmor Mishpatei Tzidkecha. I have sworn and will fulfill it to keep your just ordinances. So precious were the mitzvahs to David that for fear of failing to keep them, he would take an oath to keep them. I had sworn and will fulfill it to keep your just ordinances. Notwithstanding that the commandments stand as the established word of Hashem, independently of being observed by man, an oath to fulfill them, it is not an oath in vain. All kings take an oath to be faithful to the laws of the kingdom. And I have sworn and will fulfill it to keep your just ordinances. David would yearn for the opportunity to fulfill a mitzvah. We find a similar reading of Shemor in the pasuk in Bereishis that says, Shemor as a dover, but his father kept the matter in mind. I have sworn and will fulfill it, because an oath is such a very grave matter. I would swear to observe the commandments and fulfill my oath. As a result, keeping the mitzvahs became a habit, and this helped me keep your just ordinances. Thus it is inferred from here that one is permitted to take an oath to observe a particular mitzvah. Due to the gravity of an oath, the person will certainly keep that mitzvah. The Medrash says David would receive a double reward.
one reward for taking an oath and one reward for observing the mitzvah. In the Sifri it says it is written, and this is the pasuk, based on the pasuk that's found in the Chumash Devarim, and these words which I command you this day will be in your heart. On this basis, Rabbi Yoshio would say that a person must constrain his physical impulse by taking an oath. We find this to have been true about those righteous men, Avraham, Boaz, David, and Elisha. They all resorted to oaths. It is written in the Sefer Hasidim, although the Torah says, I have sworn and will fulfill it, at the present time a man should not make a vow to keep some mitzvahs lest he fail to honor. Thus it is written, it is better that you shall not vow than that you shall vow and not pay, or not honor it. The pasuk is found again in Kehelis. It was otherwise for the early sages, who would even let themselves be killed rather than violate their oaths. Pasuk 107, Na'anesi ad me'od Hashem chayeni chidvorecha. I am exceedingly afflicted, humbled, O Hashem, revive me according to your word. David HaMelech was fearful that he would not live long. Therefore he pleaded, I am exceedingly afflicted through fasting and suffering. O Hashem, revive me, give me life according to your word. For as you said, you will therefore keep my statutes and my ordinances, which if a man does, he will live in them. A pasuk that's found in Chumash Vayikra. Another reading of Na'anesi is linked to humility, another. David HaMelech said, King David said, I am exceedingly humbled. With regard to the trait of humility, one must go to the extreme, as our sages have taught, be very, very submissive in spirit. What is more, exceedingly alludes to his being one of the three people of marked humility. Avraham, Moshe, David. Moshe was the most humble among them, as he said, what are we that you murmur against us? A pasuk that's found in Chumash Shemos. Thus it says, now the man Moshe was very humble, more so than all the men who were upon the face of the earth. A pasuk that's found in Chumash Bamidbar. He was more so than those other humble men, Avraham and David. David said, exceedingly humbled, but he was not like Moshe. When a person reaches the state and his spirit is shattered, his heart breaks and his life is taken from him. As it says, a pasuk in Mishlei, a broken spirit breaks the bones. No one can revive him except Hashem himself, as it says, you send forth your spirit, they are created. Accordingly, David pleads here, I am exceedingly afflicted, O Hashem, revive me according to your word. We will continue Mitzvah Hashem in our next year.